Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome, everyone, to our second day of our psychology article on how to be a good listener. Can you listen without getting in the way? We talked about that yesterday, and today we're going to hear some advice. Well, my name is Linda, and I want to welcome you all to day 16. It's March 16th today. We are right in the middle of March. And so a psychology article is a great article to have about this time of year. It's the middle of winter. We're kind of getting into spring, and maybe when we walk around outside, we listen more. I don't know. But anyway, today I have with me in the studio
Amanda
and Brian.
Welcome, both of you, to How to Be a Good Listener. And yesterday, did we decide we were good listeners?
I think we decided we were pretty good, but we could have a little room for improvement.
I agree. We've come a long way, so maybe now is a good time to hear some more advice.
Okay. But one thing we talked about yesterday is don't fix it. Okay, what does that mean, don't fix it?
Well, that means don't offer the solution right away. Stop yourself, pause, and really listen and focus on what the person is saying. And so the author has developed this phrase, no solution listening, which is quite apt.
Okay. How about you, Amanda? What did you learn yesterday?
I learned that really I need to look at things through the other person's lenses, not just my own, or should I say wear their shoes for a while and understand what they're trying to say. And that does include keeping my mouth shut. And not letting my tongue move for a while.
Okay. And there are two, they talked about two major reasons why people often want to talk. What are those? They're very good English phrases and words.
One of those is vent, to express a negative emotion forcefully, and the other one is get something off of your chest.
Okay, and what's the difference between these two, Amanda?
Well, vent, we usually think of like air or some kind of thing being held back. For instance, you've held something inside for a long time and it needs to come out. So it comes out through the vent, which is the noun of that. Also, getting something off your chest means more like there's something heavy or something weighted on your chest, and so you need to get it off.
Okay, and we also talked about parents and how parents feel, maybe dealing with adult children. Be careful how much advice you give, because oftentimes children, like, you know, even our friends, don't want our advice. They just really want somebody to hear what they're saying. Mm. And we also talked yesterday about one of the maybe tricks, not really a trick, but a trick that you can use in listening to get the other person to know that you are hearing what they are saying. And what is that? Anybody remember? You know, just repeating back what they've said to you, right? Instead of offering advice, maybe repeat back what you heard the person say to make sure that it's very clear for both of you. Because maybe they're saying A and you're hearing B and you're going to do C.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if you repeat it back, they have a chance to hear what they're saying and they can correct it.
Right.
Or change it or say, oh, no, that's not what I meant at all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it, you know, affects maybe decisions or affects you or something that the person wants to do.
Actually, I found that very helpful. As soon as I learned that trick, like you said, you really clear up a lot of communication misunderstandings mm-hmm. through doing that.
Mm. So today we're going to talk about the author here, Jen Weigel, is actually going to give some advice for being a better listener, which I think we can all use. So if you have your magazine with you, turn to page 27, and we're going to read the first column, or the left-hand column, starting about line 7.
No solution listening can also be a test of intimacy, especially with personal relationships, Rooney said. Sometimes people are looking for a confidant, and this is really a good way to tell if you can trust someone. Some advice. Here are some tips to being a better listener. Find out what they want from you. Do they want to be held, heard, or understood, Rooney said. When someone wants a solution, they will say, "Do you have any ideas or suggestions?" They will typically communicate what it is that they want if we actually ask them. Be aware of your body language. Leaning slightly forward to listen communicates non-verbally that you're interested, Rooney said. But if you cross your arms or put your feet on the table, that says you are not interested and you won't connect. And don't underestimate the importance of eye contact. This establishes trustworthiness and credibility. It's something that you can use when you're engaging in listening that helps you connect.
So, we're talking about no solution listening, and it says here that it can also be a test of intimacy. This is a kind of an interesting word. We think of the word intimate. We have an intimate relationship or intimacy, and maybe we should talk about it a little bit because it can be there can be some misunderstandings maybe about this word.
Right. Some people think it only has to do with physical intimacy, but it can also do with emotional intimacy.
That's right. There could be many different layers or levels of intimacy, and you probably wouldn't share You probably wouldn't vet, we could say, with someone you don't know very well. You would want it to be someone with whom you are intimate with, someone who you're close to and can share secrets with.
Right. So intimacy here just means a closeness in a relationship. And it says here, especially with personal relationships. So no solution listening is very important in personal relationships. You were talking about that a little bit yesterday, Brian. We don't always want from our spouse, our husband or our wife, or even a roommate, a solution. We just want to be heard sometimes.
That's right. You want to feel like the person close to you is on your side, cheering for you, instead of just throwing that solution in there right away.
And trying to correct our behavior sometimes, or correct our thought pattern, or whatever it is. So it goes on to say here,
sometimes people are looking for a confidant, and this is really a good way to tell if you can trust someone. And that's an interesting word, confidant. It's in our vocabulary focus. It says here, a person with whom you can share your feelings and secrets. So a close friend, somebody that you feel safe with and intimate with.
Okay. We don't use this word so much.
No.
Confidant. Be sure you don't get it mixed up with the word, with the adjective, I'm very confident about my project or the success of my project. This is a noun. It's describing a person, right? It's somebody that you can confide in.
Mm.
Okay. So if we confide, that's the verb form of it, meaning we tell them our, you know,
feelings.
It has to do with intimacy, our innermost feelings.
Right.
And they become our confidant.
I think a lot of people associate the word with telling your secrets to that person.
Mm-hmm,
it's used a lot. Mm.
Someone you can trust and maybe not necessarily in your family or in your – maybe not always in your circle of close friends, but somebody you can really trust who you think maybe is somewhat neutral.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so notice what it says here. It says people are looking for this kind of person, and whether they interact with you in no solution listening is a way to tell if you can trust them or not.
Mm.
Very, very interesting.
Very interesting.
So what do we look for? What do you look for in a confidant?
Yeah, I would agree. I'm looking for somebody that I can trust. And maybe that's the measurement we use. You know, can I trust you with my secrets? Will you not tell other people those things? Will you respect me if I tell you something that, you know, other people may react to? Yeah, I think that's really definitely a test of how close you are to that person.
And that person maybe is not so invested in the outcome. They are more interested in you as a person and what you're going through. So they're willing to go through the process with you and not so goal-oriented, like what's going to happen in the end.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. And since they're somewhat maybe not invested or emotionally attached, they don't always react as strongly when you share things that are powerful or emotional. They kind of are more calm and detached, and they can maybe give you a new perspective.
Mm. Okay, good. So now we're getting to the advice part. You guys like advice?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yes.
So actually, the author here is saying, here's some tips to be a better listener. So the first one is find out what they want to hear from you.
That's right. Maybe they don't only want to be heard. Maybe they want to, as the writer says, maybe they want to be held if it's somebody close to you. Give them a hug. Or maybe they want something deeper. They want to really be understood.
Rooney says that when someone wants a solution, they will say, "Do you have any ideas or suggestions?" They will typically communicate what it is that they want if we actually ask them. So we need to ask them.
I think we need to burn that into our brains. Don't offer solutions or suggestions unless the person actually asks us.
Like when they say, "Well, what do you think?"
Mm-hmm. Then what would you do?
Right. Then you know it's time. Okay, now I can say something.
That's right. They might give you a clue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're like me and you want to jump in and say, "Oh, you should do this." So our first one, I think, is very good. Find out what they want from you. Do they just want you to hear them? Do they just want somebody? Again, yesterday we talked about this is the most lacking skill in the world, actually, according to one study, that people don't have anybody to listen to them, and everybody wants to be listened to.
Right.
And I think, you know, it also, for children, actually for anybody, it inspires confidence that they are worth listening to. You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, sometimes it might be a big issue and sometimes it might be a small issue.
It's true. If you see children's behavior, you know, oftentimes they're trying to get your attention, you know, and they are just wanting to be heard. I mean, obviously you need to teach them how that's going to happen, but you notice that very early on, even on the playground, they want people's attention.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we reinforce that negative behavior by giving them negative attention because, you know, we're tired of it.
Yeah.
And then they learn that that's the kind of attention that they can get. But if we're talking about parenting skills here, but I think this is true throughout all of our relationships too. If somebody really needs to talk or wants to be heard, you know, as a friend or as a human being, you know, we need to care for that person. That's where it comes in, just to be heard or to be understood.
I think knowing the signs too, you know, when somebody wants to be heard or held or understood, different people react differently. Some people withdraw, and then you have to say, "You're okay," and draw them out. Other people wear their emotions on their sleeves, which means you can see very evidently something is wrong. And so you can very easily say, "Are you okay?" You know? So it's also learning how to do that.
Right. But do you have any ideas or suggestions? Okay. That's a very clear cue whether they want advice or not. And the next one is very interesting. Be aware of your body language.
That's right. It says leaning slightly forward to listen communicates non-verbally that you are interested. So you're actually actively listening, what we call active listening, by your body language. Because if you're just sitting there with your hands folded and a frown on your face, then people may interpret that as you're not interested in hearing what they have to say. Whereas if you lean in slightly and you look actively like you're listening, then, oh, you actually want to hear what I have to say. For me, myself, I've experienced that before. One of my close friends, whenever I would want them to listen to me, they would have a frown on their face. And at first, I interpreted that as, oh, you don't want to hear what I have to say, or you disagree with what I'm saying. But actually, when I pointed it out to them, they had no idea that they had this frown on their face. In fact, that was their listening face. So it's also a good idea to communicate that, especially if it's a confidant or somebody close to you.
So our verbal language is as important as our nonverbal language. These are skills that we can learn.
Right.
That's right. And it's good, too. It says be aware. Sometimes I catch myself and remind myself, okay, how am I appearing to the other person now? Sometimes I'm crossing my arms or folding my arms when I really shouldn't be. So I have to stop myself.
I find myself doing that as well. You know, and especially if you're talking to a child and you have your arms folded, that means judgment.
Right.
You know? But also it does show like authority. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that you're not interested. It says if you cross your arms and put your feet on the table, okay, then it's really like, okay, if just picture this in your mind, everybody, okay? Crossing your feet and look at the picture in the bottom right-hand corner. Does he look interested?
No. He will not be my confidant.
And also it says, and don't underestimate the importance of eye contact. Mm. Okay, I think this is important for...
Very important.
All levels.
Yeah, I think about... I've had it in the past when I'm talking to somebody, and if they're just looking around the room or, you know, no eye contact, then you really do interpret that as, do you really want to hear what I have to say? So eye contact is extremely important.
Very important. I was just curious, Amanda, when your friend was frowning, I assume they actually were making eye contact.
They were, yes.
Mm-hmm. Eye contact and frowning, not good. Not a good combination. But it is true. Have you ever talked to somebody and then you're looking, you see somebody and you look past them and that person automatically turns and looks too? Or if it's been done to you and then you feel like, oh, I'm not that important or I'm not worth listening to.
Mm.
I think it's interesting. It says, don't underestimate this. This establishes trustworthiness and credibility. Okay. Mm. Very, very interesting. And what does this mean, Brian?
Well, trustworthiness means that you can trust them, that they're worthy of your trust. And, of course, credibility means their ability to be believed or trusted. So there's similar terms. When they're really looking at you, you can take them seriously and you know they really are listening.
Right. So these are a couple of pieces of advice that we can actually, you know, we can force ourselves to put into practice, you know. One is not to give suggestions unless they're asked for. And another is be aware of our body language. You know, and this is also true in business or in any of our relationships, you know. If you go in to talk to somebody and you lean against the doorpost, which I always do, and cross my arms, I keep thinking, oh, no, uncross your arms, put them down.
That's true.
You know, or lean in when somebody talks to you is much different because then the person, you're leaning toward them and they feel like you care about them. When you start leaning back, you're putting space between you and that person, which means, okay, I'm distancing myself from them, okay? And it shows that you don't want to be engaged with that person.
That's right. So, be an active listener and put these things into practice.
Okay, well, we have a couple of more pieces of advice in the right-hand column on page 27. So let's go to our listening right now.
Don't multitask. Multitasking has become a communicative epidemic, Rooney said. If you're doing other things while listening, it can come off as disrespectful. The person talking will feel a lack of importance, that what they're saying is not important. Be honest about your limitations. If you have a hard time restraining yourself from saying something, Costello said, you can say to them, I'm having a hard time just listening here because every fiber of my being wants to give you advice, so I may not be the best person to vent to about this.
So do you multitask? What is multitasking, actually?
Multitasking is doing many things all at the same time. For instance, you may be checking your phone while you're talking to somebody or just doing many things at one time. So, yes, I often multitask.
That's right. And multitasking, I think, is a part of our everyday lives. If you see somebody's computers kind of spy on them, you'll see maybe they have 5, 6, 7 or more windows open at one time, so they're checking many things at once. But maybe multitasking isn't so good when it comes to being a good listener.
Well, it says here that it's become a communicative epidemic. Do you guys agree with that?
I do. Interesting, though, that word epidemic. Epidemic means that there is, where is it, in our vocabulary focus at the bottom there, the appearance of a particular disease. But in this situation, we're not talking about like sickness. We're talking about communication, the way we communicate. So it's a problem that a large group of us or many people are doing at the same time. So, yes, I do believe that we have this problem in our society today.
Well, I think it might be good to call it. To say it's kind of a communication sickness, multitasking. If a person comes to you and wants to confide in you and is sharing, you know, from their heart and, you know, their heart is breaking and you're like checking your phone and, you know, whatever, checking your computer and doing other things, do you feel cared for?
Not at all.
No way.
So we need to be sensitive to the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing other things while listening, it can come off as disrespectful.
It really can. And I think with smartphones, this makes it so much worse. Especially one thing that bothers me, Linda and Amanda and listeners, is when I'm at a restaurant with somebody, I go there with them, they pull out their smartphone, and they're kind of nodding their head while I'm talking, but their eyes are trained right on their smartphone. That really feels disrespectful.
I feel the same way. One morning I went to kind of a brunch. I was in between something, so I was up by myself, and I looked over, and there were like six people. They were all women, young women, you know, coming out together to – it was a pretty nice restaurant to have brunch together. They never said a word to one another. I was like, what are you – you know, it was just so interesting. They were all checking their cell phones. The only thing they did was check their cell phones and take photos of their food. Really, very little talking. I was like, why are you all here together?
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking it's very interesting because we use these, technology to communicate better, right? But at the very basis or the basic communication face-to-face, we're not doing that so much anymore.
Right. So, you know, I think that this next sentence is very true. The person talking will feel a lack of importance. So they might not feel – well, they might feel disrespected as well, but then you feel like it doesn't matter what I say, or I'm not important to this person, or this person doesn't really care anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can almost be certain they probably won't remember what you said if they're staring to check something.
Right. And it is so true, isn't it? I mean, smartphones, whatever, are tools for communication. And we're not we have learned not to communicate with the person sitting right across from us.
I think it just really communicates to the person you're not making them a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Like it says, you're not making them important at that time. And it may only take a minute or two just to acknowledge that you are listening to them. That's all that they're looking for. And it's amazing how that can change a situation, especially if someone is, like you said, hurting or needing to vent.
And then our fourth piece of advice here is be honest about your limitations, okay? So what is this saying to us?
Well, it's saying that if you know that you struggle with this, if you know you have a temptation to jump in, if you admit it to yourself, that might help you restrain yourself from always cutting in to a conversation.
Okay.
Oh, they have some advice, Christine Costello. She says you can say to them, I'm having a hard time just listening here. And interestingly goes on to say, because every fiber of my being wants to give you advice.
That's an interesting phrase, every fiber of my being. What does that mean, actually?
It means that everything inside me is saying, I need to say something.
Have you ever felt that way?
Yes.
I think all of us probably have at some point.
Yes, and that is where the restraining or having to hold yourself back really gets tested.
So what if somebody – if you were talking to somebody and somebody said that to you, okay, then what would you do? How would you respond, do you think?
Well, it would depend. I think if I'm really needing to vent, I may vent first and then ask them, what do you think? Especially if they're saying everything inside me wants to say something. I would take that as a sign. Maybe they do have something good to say to me because I respect that they're being honest with me.
Because they're not multitasking at that point.
Exactly.
How about you, Brian? What if somebody said that to you? Would you let them talk or would you just say, just be quiet and listen first?
Well, I think if they're admitting that they're struggling, then I might reconsider, maybe find another person. But like Amanda said, if I've vented to this person before and they have listened before, I'd probably still give them a chance and vent anyway.
Hmm. But I think the point here is we as the listener, need to be very clear. We need to say to the person, I really want to say something,
right.
And then I may not be the best person to vent about this.
Right.
So maybe I'm not the person you should be talking to because I know I have an opinion already.
Right. And I think that also gives them the opportunity to either listen to what you say or go and find another person to confide in. It's just about being honest.
Right. But I also think that, to me, if a person is honest like that, then I would want to talk to them because I would trust them,
Right.
Sure. Oh, sure. I think the limitations goes both ways, mm-hmm. too. We can't expect to be understood every single time that we have to get something off of our chest. Mm-hmm. But it is good to, over time, find the people that we can trust.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there are just four really short and I think very, very helpful pieces of advice here that probably we want to take a close look at. I would advise you all to – there I am giving advice. I would advise you all to read over this again. You know, find out what that person wants from you, okay? And then be aware of your body language and don't multitask and be honest about your limitations so that you have an honest relationship. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you all for being with us today and yesterday also on how to be a good listener. I thought this was it's a very interesting and needed topic. You know, we need good listeners in the world. So you can write to us about your experiences or do you have any advice or tips for listeners? You can write to us on our Facebook page or you can write to us at Studio Classroom. We post a lot of them on our letters page so that we can read and see what other people's experience is. So we invite you to be interactive with us. We'd love to hear from you. And be sure to join us again tomorrow as we tackle a new topic. And hopefully you all will bring your listening ears to Advanced Studio Classroom. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.